Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the GAR. My name is Lee Costello and I'm delighted to be joined by the loud captain, Sam Mulroy, as we talk about all things from Mickey Hart to gym routines to a Leinster final against Dublin. Hope you enjoy the show.
Sam the man, how are you keeping?
I'm good, Lee. How are you?
I'm good. Has the heart rate dropped after the thriller on Sunday?
Just on the more. A mental one. So thankfully for my throat out of that now.
Yeah, no, it's always good to get over them sort of tight matches. I want to go right back to the start, Sam, in terms of this whole journey that now they're on. And even right back to when you heard the news that Mickey Hart was leaving Tyrone. Obviously, at the time, you didn't know it was going to have an immediate impact on you. But were you shocked? And did you have even a slight hope that, you know, because of the availability in Louth, he might come there?
Yeah, I suppose more so a shock that he left Tyrone. I know he'd obviously been there for a long, long time. But I suppose just the year that was in it, I think it was the COVID year. So I don't know if Mickey felt hard done by or like they didn't get, like, you know, get a big crack at it during that COVID year. He had one shot, like, and I think the whole country was nearly shocked that they were let go. But I suppose to answer the other question, it never even entered my head that Mickey Hart would consider coming to Louth. So I suppose when the news did break, it was unbelievable.
Yeah, and then it didn't take too long for the news to break as well that he would be coming to Louth. So just be honest with me, like, was the group chat with the team absolutely hopping at the time? Because literally since that news was announced, there's been a buzz in Louth that's never really left.
Yeah, I suppose I think we were all ringing each other going, is this legit? So it was a case of pure shock at the start, I suppose. And the light of Jesus, this could be something special. And as you said, there's a buzz there, and I just think Mickey carries that persona, and he has that respect within the team and around the county as for what he's done and who he is. So yeah, it's been absolutely incredible, I suppose, to get to work with him. And I think glad people are just relishing having him here. And us as a team are definitely relishing it.
I'm from Tyrone. I certainly miss him when things are going wrong. When he first came in along with Gavin Devlin, what was his initial goals? And I don't mean, like, obviously he wanted to have success, promotions, trophies, things like that, but I mean, like, right at the very start, them first 1 to 10 training sessions, what was it he wanted to implement almost immediately? Was it like a defensive structure, team bonding, fitness? You know, what do you think from sort of viewing it, his top priority was instantly?
Yeah, I suppose it was weird because we had actually went back into lockdown. So we probably did only have a couple of sessions, and then we had to break for a long period of time. And I suppose the main focus, like, at that time was probably our conditioning and our our S&C probably was the poor enough standard, to be honest. It was never really bought into in Loud as much as it probably should have been. So I suppose that lockdown nearly worked in our favour a little bit. I know we didn't have as much time together on the pitch, but it led a lot of lads, including myself, to catch up to a standard where we needed to be able to compete at inter-county football. So I suppose S&C was definitely a main one. And then I suppose, look, technical or tactical awareness of our structure and how we played was definitely a main feature in what they brought. Look, you'll obviously have experience of yourself, you know, Gavin Devlin and how good he is as a coach. So him really putting his stamp on what we do and how we train and our technical ability as well was evident from the start that we just had to go to another level. And as I said, Gavin has been absolutely incredible. He's one of the best I've ever seen do it, do you know, sort of way. So yeah, right from the start we knew we were in for something.
Mm-hmm. Would it be fair to say that the start of this process, journey, or whatever you want to call it, Mickey was and Gavin were trying to put in more of a system to try and bring out the best out of the team, organize them defensively, and then a lot of the responsibility would have been on you at the focal point to shoulder the responsibility of the scores?
Yeah, look, maybe so. And I suppose I think I definitely improved when they come in. And look, Mickey and Gavin still instilled a lot of belief in myself. And I'm forever grateful for what they've seen in me. And they definitely helped me develop over the last number of years. So, yeah, I suppose, look, maybe our game plan at that stage was to be solid at the back and to hopefully get the ball up front enough to myself and a few others to get enough scores to win matches. And but look, definitely, look, it evolved over the last year or so, and I had to, because look, the teams get better as you go up the grades and defenders get better and we need to have more scores, and thankfully we've done that. And look, as I suppose I said earlier as well, it's a case of, look, they're asking us to do things now that they would have never asked us to do 3 years ago when they first came in. And it just evolves, and they've layered it pretty well. And yeah, I thought we've improved definitely tactically and technically over the last number of years, everyone. So yeah, definitely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you sort of touched on it there. People are definitely starting to shoulder the responsibility a lot more. Like Kieran Downey was fantastic at the weekend. The two lads in midfield, Early and Dernan, they're you know, amazing. So it just goes to show, like, the talent's always been there in Louth. You know, like, Mickey didn't bring them from outside or anything. So, like, was it just a case now compared to previous years of just having someone with that leadership and organisation to bring out the best in those players?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, and it's a case of, it doesn't happen overnight. And look, as you said, the talent has been there, and those boys are talented players. Like, they're absolutely excellent. And look, I think it maybe did take someone like Mickey Hart come in and instill a little bit of belief and a little bit of direction for those lads as well and myself, that look, this is how it's done, buy into it, and we can take you somewhere that you've never been before, do you know, sort of way. So as you said, the talent's definitely there, and those boys are incredible footballers, and they always have been. But look, I think it's a lot to do with upstairs as well, isn't it? Like, and where do you believe you're good enough? And look, I think Mickey has definitely instilled that belief in all his players.
Yeah, I mean, you talked there a lot about instilling belief, and Mickey wouldn't be afraid of trying a few tricks, like psychologically. I don't even mean tricks, just sort of moves to try and bring out the best in players. Like, he written in his book that Tyrone were having trouble playing away from home, so he got all the players to bring a blade of grass from all the clubs in Tyrone. He put them in a bag. They wore them in their shoes, so they were always playing on Tyrone. So, you know, little things to trick in the head. Did he try anything, you know, on that sort of, not exactly that, but like that, you know, with you guys?
No, nothing that springs to mind, really. That's an interesting one, but no, nothing that springs to mind. Look, he's so talented at what he does, and I think, look, us just having him in our dressing room is enough nearly for us for half that belief. I suppose he's probably like nothing we've ever experienced before in terms of his mentality and win at all costs. And yeah, so I suppose it's just special to have him, and it's maybe enough. Don't need to bring grass from anywhere just yet. Yeah.
Well, unfortunately for yourself, you were injured for the latter stages of the league and sort of coming back early in the championship. What was the injury, and how are you now?
Yeah, so I'd done a decent enough tear on my hamstring. So I had a grade 2C hamstring tear, and so obviously the tendon was involved, which just makes it a little bit more complicated. So look, there was a 10 to 12 week time frame on it, and look, with a lot of work and a good physio team, we've just managed to shave a few weeks off it. So just hoping I can stay injury fit. Look, and as you said, it was a very disappointing to miss the latter stages of the league, especially when we were competing for promotion. So disappointed with that, but look, it's left me eager to be back, and I worked seriously hard over the last number of weeks to try to be back for the championship. And yeah, look, I'm feeling good at the minute, so hopefully it continues on that trend.
Well, against Offaly, you were at the heart of a lot of attacks, but it wasn't really until extra time that you really found your range, you know, hit 4 or 5 points from play. Is that a thing with you, do you think? Because they say forwards are confidence players. Like, once you make that breakthrough, the floodgates can open.
Yeah, probably felt like that the weekend. It felt like nothing was happening for me at one stage, and all of a sudden then, look, it came to the fore. But look, it's a case of, I suppose maybe years ago I would have shied away from that, and you'd stop working and you'd nearly be looking to be taken off or get me out of here because this isn't going my way. But look, I suppose I was learned over the last number of years, and I suppose I have different roles in the team now. I don't just have to score, as I've seen here and then. He scored 6 or 7 points the weekend. There's other lads well capable of doing that on days that needs it. And yeah, so I had other roles when I wasn't scoring the other way. I could still communicate, mm-hmm. I could still work hard, I could still tackle. So I suppose I took that. I think that comes with experience and playing a little bit more. Look, that there's definitely jobs to do, even if the ball isn't going where you want it, between the posts or whatever. But look, as you said, then it was a case of, just coming to life maybe a little bit. And as you said, one went over, and next minute I got 3 or 4 in a row, I think. And just, I suppose, not shying away from it was my big learning curve from previous years. And definitely, thankfully, it came good, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. And I suppose coming back from injury, especially in the heat of championship, it's all about like catching up to the pace. Do you think the extra time will actually have put you in good stead, because you can't really beat minutes in the tank when it comes to, you know, getting back to sharpness?
Yeah, I really hope it will stand to me. I think it will. Look, I hadn't trained much over the last number of weeks, and I hadn't trained much before the Westmead match, to be honest with you. And I was trying at the deep end last week and just hoping that my legs would hold up. So I played 70 last week, and look, probably played 100 minutes there the weekend as well. So hopefully that'll help get me back to match sharpness. And definitely, hopefully it'll stand to me.
In an interview after the match, they did ask Mickey Hart, did he ever consider taking you off during normal time? And I think he said, would you take Lionel Messi off? So there's no bigger compliment than that. And unless maybe you're a Ronaldo fan, but I can't think of a bigger one.
Yeah, no, a massive compliment. And I suppose, look, yeah, it's a funny one. I suppose, like, when you're going well, everyone's singing your praises. When you're going bad, when everyone wants your head on the block, like, so... I suppose, as you said, look, I know the ball, I wasn't scoring as freely as maybe I should have been, and I had a few wild shots, but I thought I was contributing in other ways, as I said. So look, I'm thankful he maybe seen that as well, and he kept me on the pitch, and he gave me enough time to come good. And he instilled so much belief in me that I never feel under pressure from their side, you know, sort of way. So I thank him for the compliment, and I don't know where he got it from now, but I suppose, yeah, it was a nice one.
Are you a Messi man or a Ronaldo man?
I used to be a big soccer fan growing up, and I was always United, so I was seriously Ronaldo, but his antics over the last while, and I fell out of love with soccer. I'm not a soccer watcher now, I wouldn't watch it anymore, but his antics over the last while ended up my street, so I think I've changed to the Messi side.
Team Messi now, Sam, I have this impression of you, and to be fair, it's completely unfounded and total guesswork from my part, but I think it's because I know you run a gym, you're captain of your county, leadership qualities and all the rest. I have this impression that you're a real like process warrior, you know, like a Johnny Cooper, Conor Miler, somebody who takes their preparation really seriously. Is that fair to say?
It's funny, I'm good friends with Conor Miler, and I suppose we spent a bit of time together in Kenya last year, and no, I'm definitely not on his level, I don't think. But,
I don't think anyone is.
I don't think anyone is. He's unbelievable in what he does, and the way he keeps himself and his mindset. But no, look, I think I've learned over the years that what suits me is that I suppose I did when I was younger in 18, 19, 20, I suppose, getting hung up on things and been so obsessed with it that I'd a match could ruin my week or a match could make my week, and I need to be Sam O'Reilly, the coach in the gym and the business owner, and so I need to park football. So I do try not to get hung up on it. So that's kind of come into my preparation a lot as well, that look, if I don't sleep well because I've been late at the gym working, or if I haven't eaten as well because of, look, I had to miss a meal because it is what it is. So I've kind of gone a little bit nearly against what I used to be like. And as I said, it's just come from experience. So look, I'm a deep thinker in terms of of myself and how I can improve and what I need to do for the team and stuff like that. Definitely, don't get me wrong, I take that very, very seriously. But look, in terms of actually getting hung up on the little things, no. Look, I don't think in the grand scheme of things, does anyone care? No. So yeah, it's about going out and playing as best I can. Yeah, that's the way I've started to try thinking over the last while. I'm probably still a nightmare to go around at the minute, but look.
No, absolutely. Well, I was just wondering because the difference between club level and county level is the gap's probably closing a little bit. You know, even like junior clubs have strength and conditioning programs. They look after the nutrition, pre-match meals and things. But county level is a different level still. So I was wondering, and because you're a coach as well, could you maybe talk us through what a pre-match routine would be, maybe starting from the day before, ideally?
Yeah, so like for us, we usually play on a Sunday, obviously. So we've a nice window there on a Saturday to really go after. So for me, look, it starts probably the Friday night. I think two nights before the sleep needs, obviously the week leading up is important, but look, two nights before, if you get a good sleep there, because I always find the night before match, you never actually sleep that well because it's always on your mind. So two nights before for me is really, really important to sleep well. And then it's a case of, look, you obviously know the carb load and thing is massively important and eating as much as you can the day before in terms of getting some good carbs in, healthy proteins and fats to be fueled enough. And then it's just like micro stuff like don't drink too much caffeine like too late in the day so that you actually do sleep. So little things of, I think, intercounty players are trying to, again, take it to the next level of, what they're doing throughout their day to really, really stay ahead of that club, because as you said, the club's catching up and it's so, so impressive of what the club lads are doing now as well. So, I suppose, look, eat well, recover, chill out. For me, I like to actually do some other stuff in terms of actually like to be distracted and not talk about the game too much. Or I like to go to work on a Saturday morning and so I suppose it's, look, everyone's trying to do something different and get ahead of the curve, but I suppose it's finding what suits the person. And as you said, look, I could try to do a Conor Moyle does, but it probably won't work for me, do you know, so do I. It's kind of it's a funny one, I suppose, just down to the individual maybe.
Just on the carb loading, because I'd interviewed Padraig Hamsey before and he was saying that like such an emphasis on it, and this was a couple of years ago, but he'd nearly feel sick with the amount of food that they had to eat. You know what I mean? You're so full and bloated and whatever. I mean, is that still the case right now? Like you're nearly forcing food down you?
Yeah, it's funny. Like we had our first match in Clare this year away and I felt we arrived in a hotel and I felt like just all that day I hadn't stopped eating. And I felt, as you said there, bloated, and I felt a little bit, you nearly feel overweight. You're like, Jesus Christ, I don't know how I'm going to run around tomorrow. And I was saying it to our nutritionist and she was like, no, that's how you're supposed to feel. You should feel like that. That's what you should be eating all the time. And I was like, no, I'd never eat that much. Like, so it's definitely the case of, get the food in. And look, for me then on the day of the match, it's as nearly as little as possible, just to have enough that you're not hungry, but just to feel fresh and light. And look, you know that you've done the work the day before. So, it's a funny one. You nearly feel like you don't stop eating all that day.
Yeah. Obviously you've got a very big game coming up at Leinster final against Dublin. And listen, like there's no secret that Louth will be going in as huge underdogs for that game due to the dominance that Dublin have had over the last 13 plus years. Do you talk a lot about Mickey Hart instilling belief, and I have no doubt that he does believe it, but do you genuinely feel that this Louth team can do what so many teams in Leinster feel to do and take the trophy away from the capital?
Yeah, I suppose like that's a dangerous question for me, I suppose, because I'm not, I could sit here and say, I do believe, and I do deep down, I suppose, have enough belief that we can go in and cause an upset, but I'm not stupid enough to sit here and say that we walk into Croke Park and take the trophy off Dublin, because as you said there, they're champions last 13 years and probably many more years before that, and some of those players of 8 or 9 All-Ireland, so in no case am I going to disrespect them and say, we're going to rock in and win. Look, on day we have to win with belief and we have to go in and try. It's a case of not getting ahead of ourselves and staying 2 feet on the ground. We have a job to do, and hopefully, look, if we do a good enough job, we'll come out with the trophy. But look, as I said, Dublin are a seriously well-meaning, and there's some superstars in that team that are going to take a lot of stop. And so it's a massive, massive task and a big job ahead of Louth, yeah.
No, of course. I sort of made the point, we did a podcast yesterday, just a review show, and you can look at the Kildare Dublin game sort of in two ways. Like, you know, Dublin struggled in that match. They did. Kildare really put it up to them. So, like, you know, Louth could look at that and be, you know, they, oh, this team can be got at. There's weaknesses there. Or they, you can sort of look at it. Yeah. What are the odds they're going to have two bad games in a row? Because it's just, you know, the talent that they have in a row. Like, I mean, what were your thoughts watching the game back?
Yeah, it's funny because I suppose a number of teams put Dublin on the ropes over the last 10 years. Like, you look at the Mayo games, and but they just seem to have this resilience and this know-how to get over the line. And it's so impressive. And I suppose, look, they probably did have an off day in terms of they had a lot of chances in the first half they didn't take. And Kildare will probably be kicking themselves a little bit, but look, you just can't write them off, can you? And they've some, as you said, some serious players in there that just know how to win. So yeah, look, we'll be looking at it from the lens of, yeah, they can be got at, and we'll try our best to do that. Like, so it'll be a case of try pick holes in it. Look, they'll be doing the same with us, and hopefully, look, we'll get more chances to win the match on Sunday week than they do. So.
Mm-hmm. Sam, we finish every podcast with a quick fire round. Would you be up for that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Sweet. Favorite player to watch growing up?
JP Rooney.
Good stuff. Favorite sport to watch outside of the GAA?
I'm going to sound really boring here. I don't really watch much other sports other than GAA.
It's because you're a process warrior, you see.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
A really, really good gym session or going to the pitch with a bag of balls, what would you prefer?
Bag of balls.
Yeah, all day. That's a forwards answer. Now, I'm not saying you would be in trouble, but if you were ever to be in trouble with the Louth management because late to training, anything like that, who would you be more afraid of the backlash, Gavin Devlin or Mickey Hart?
Mickey Hart, yeah.
He definitely has the he's disappointed, not mad kind of stare going on.
Yeah, Gavin would probably scream at me, like, but Mickey, I think it'd hurt me a little bit more, maybe.
Yeah. Sweeper keepers, yeah or nay?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, all day.
It seems forwards really like them, but I think when I ask defenders, a lot of them, it gives them, I don't know, makes them nervous.
I don't know. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. You've seen like Oren Lynch there and James Calvin intercepting kick passes there the weekend. It was class. It's
oh, I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Toughest player to ever mark you?
Thank you. I was only young. Mick Fitzsimons marked me when I was maybe 20, 21. And yeah, that was a learning curve.
Mm-hmm. Had you ever came close to quitting Louth football?
No.
Never?
Never.
No doubt. That's it. Process work. last question, and I know I've asked you before, but it's a good way to end. Can Louth be Leinster champions 2023?
Yep.
Brilliant. I assume so. Well, Sam, thank you so much for coming on the show. Good luck in the Leinster final. Good luck for the season ahead. And thanks again.
Brilliant. Thanks, Lee.
Thanks to Sam Mulroy for coming on to the podcast. Remember to check out our review show when we had Kevin Nolan in studio chatting about that game for Dublin in 2011 to clinch the All-Ireland title for the first time in 16 years, how he was dropped off the panel in 2015 and his ongoing battle with diabetes. Remember to like, share, subscribe, and we'll see you next week.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.